ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। द टाइम टू लीव मधुबन एंड गो बैक टू योर प्लेसेस इज नियर. And I know many of you have left, and some of you will be going in a few days. Some may be staying longer. But we did meet the other day when it was gift day, and I have been meeting you in Pandav Bhavan too when you come. So it's nice to be in the midst of this small gathering now. I know you have taken a lot of benefit from so many classes and workshops and different variety programs in Gyan Sarovar. You also went to Baba's Rock yesterday, and tomorrow you will be meeting Dadi Ratan Mohini Ji in Shantivan. So I hope you're all going back completely full. Are you? Those who say yes, we are going back full, this wave? Okay, very good. So will this strength last for only 1 year or a long time? What do you think? I know many of you have come only after, you know, long time of, because of COVID, you've come after many years to Madhuban. But all this delay or the gap which was in between your past Madhuban and now Madhuban journey, I'm sure that has been filled up and you are going back full. So those who say we are going back full, raise your hand again. Okay, everyone or no, not some? Okay, everyone. So I've been given a very interesting topic: the harmony dance in Brahmin life. We know of so many different types of dances. And in India, there is so much variety of dances. Every state has its own traditional dance. Well, every country has its own traditional dance. And there are different occasions for different dances. But this dance, which is the dance of sanskars, the dance of harmony, and that also in Brahmin life, what does it mean? In Brahmin life, of course, we show our joy and dance on occasions. In the world, two people dance on different occasions, and usually dancing is a sign of joy, of happiness. And usually in that type of dancing, the physical dances, the emphasis is on one part of the limb or the other. On some it's the eyes, on some it's the fingers, on some it's the shoulder, on some it's the feet, on some it's the hands, you know, variety. But here, when we say the dance of sanskars or the harmony dance, it's not something physical. It is definitely internal, spiritual. So we call it the dance of sanskars. And it's not necessary that all dance the same way. You know, when they are in pairs, it's not that they are using the same hand, both of them. One is using the left hand, the other is using the right hand, and there's different gestures. So here too, when we say dance of sanskars, we know that each one has his own sanskars. Just as souls are not alike, just as, you know, physically also no one's features are alike, even the voice is not alike. Nothing is alike physically. Nothing. And also if we say karmas are not alike, thoughts are not alike, words are not alike, actions are not alike. Each one is unique. Each one is different. And each one is special. We cannot say this one is better than that one, or that one is better than that one, and so on. No. Each one is different and special and unique. So when we understand this, there is no question of comparison. But the real question comes when we have to unite them. We have to make them come together. Even in music, every musical instrument gives its own music. But the beauty of the musical instruments is that when they are played together, they give such a wonderful music, you know, all different types of music in one music. So just as we have that music or the dances, but there is so much of a meeting. If one is going this way, the other is going that way, then it will not work. They have to come together too. They just can't be away from each other. Though they may separate, but then they come back again together. So here too in life, although each one is unique, but we are all actually under one string of Baba. You know, when Baba talks about Brahmin culture, before Brahmins, especially double foreigners, they used to say, my culture, your culture, this one's culture, the culture of my country, the culture of his country. You know, we used to differentiate a lot. And then sometimes maybe feel too that my culture is better than this one's country's culture and so on. But then later on Baba said, no children, my culture, your culture will not work in Brahmin life. This is for us, all of us, what we do or we behave like, it is all Brahmin culture. So let it be in one culture, and that is Brahmin culture. What are Brahmins supposed to do? We all wake up at Amrit Vela, and Baba says, if you don't wake up at Amrit Vela, then how can you be called a Brahmin? So in Hindi they say for Amrit Vela, Brahma Mahurat. So everything comes from the word Brahma. You know, Brahma Mahurat means Amrit Vela, morning, very early in the morning. So that is the beginning of Brahma's day. That is why Brahma Mahurat, the start of Brahmin day. So we all start with that Brahmin day, early Amrit Vela. If somebody continues to sleep until 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, then he's not a Brahmin. Brahmin means he wakes up at Amrit Vela and meditates. Then secondly, we say, who is the Brahmin? What is the similarity? The first similarity is waking up at Amrit Vela. Second similarity is eating Brahma Bhojan, pure food, cooked in Baba's remembrance and then offered to Baba, and then eat it. So that is also the same culture. People in the world don't know this, you know. So we say, no, when we are cooking, we have to cook in Baba's remembrance. So there are so many do's and don'ts which are alike in among the Brahmins, or which have to be alike. So we call that Brahma Bhojan. So we say Brahma Mahurat, then second Brahma Bhojan, again something connected with Brahma. And thirdly we say Brahma Gyan, again connected with Brahma. The Gyan, the knowledge which we all get is the same, because our teacher is the same. The teacher is one and he is teaching everyone the same knowledge. No one gets private tuitions too, or separate timings for class, for Gyan. No, each one said class is in the morning, which is very important, main, and that is the Murli. So we get the same teachings and we say that's called Brahma Gyan. So coming again from Brahma's mouth. So Brahma Mahurat, Brahma Bhojan, Brahma Gyan and Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means actually celibacy. But Baba talks about purity of thoughts, words, actions. So purity is much more than just celibacy. Purity even in not just in actions or in words or even thoughts, but something more subtle than that. Purity even in your dreams, because dreams are not under your control, you know. But definitely they are the projection of your sanskars. So whatever your sanskars are, they are projected through your dreams sometimes. You know, I can say for myself, I never dream anything else. Even if I'm dreaming, then I dream like I'm giving a speech, or I'm explaining to someone, or I'm going to a center, or there's a big audience and I'm conducting meditation. That's what I dream, you know, because that's now what has become our sanskar. We are no more in the world, because Baba says you see and you don't see, you hear and you don't hear. So our sanskars have changed. Baba talks about our original sanskars, because any sanskars which we developed in from copper age onwards, they are all Maya sanskars. And now we have to finish those Maya sanskars and go back to our original stage. So, but still each one is different. Although our basic, maryadas, disciplines, they are the same. But still we are all different. We all listen to the Murli, but each one understands the Murli differently. Each one imbibes the Murli differently. Each one experiences the love from which is coming from Baba through the Murli differently. And therefore, that is never the same, although it's coming from the same source, because we are all different. But now the big question is, it's not just that it's different and therefore we play our role differently. Of course we play our role differently. My role will not be like your role. You may say, oh, you live in Madhuban and you have such a nice role, I should also have the same. No, Your role is in the center, your role is in your country, and you have to fulfill your responsibilities there. I have my responsibility here, so I fulfill my responsibilities here. In this way, there is no comparison. I cannot say, okay, you come and live here, I will go and live in your country. I will take your place. No, no, your place is fixed for you. My place is fixed for me. But we are all united, and Madhuvan is the best place where we meet, where we come together. And when Baba says Madhuvan, this word Madhuvan has a very beautiful meaning. It is, Madhu means honey and Ban means forest. So it is the forest of honey. You know, that's how double foreigners translate Madhuvan. So forest of honey. And forest means solitude. And honey means a big gathering. One honeybee cannot produce honey. It is a need of many, many bees. Only then a honeycomb is created and then they produce honey. So that means a big gathering. So Madhuvan has a very wonderful meaning. On one hand it is Ban, a forest. Forest means solitude, alone. You're all by yourself. So in Madhuvan you can experience that feeling of solitude. You can be on your own, nobody will disturb you. Just go on any rooftop and just remember Baba on your own, nobody will even know where you are. Because such a huge place, Madhuvan. But then we can't do that the whole day. We have to come together to have breakfast, to have lunch, to have dinner, to attend the class, to attend Amrit Vela, and so on. And also to attend different programs. You have to come together. And also, if we have the responsibility of arranging a program, then too we have to come together. And each one is given some, you know, responsibility. And each one takes his own responsibility and does his work. Because it's not that all will do the same work. Because there has to be mutual understanding, mutual teamwork. So one person does one thing, the second person does the second thing, third person does the third thing, and in this way that work is done, because it needs the cooperation of many. Just like we say, this finger is there, all the fingers are different. None of the fingers are alike, you know, they're all different. But then when you, just close your fist, then all the fingers become alike because they all come in alignment together. When you close your fist, your fingers like this. So although they're all different, but then when they come together, it's all in alignment. So this is called the dance of harmony. And the beautiful part of this dance of harmony is that you tell me to do something, I accept immediately. I won't give my opinion because you are responsible and you have told me to help that person, so I accept. I should not use my own opinion. No, 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 I will not do this way, I will do that way. I don't have to say that. But I accept, okay, I will do it. And although I will do it my way, it will be my way, I know. But then I accept it. You know, in Hindi there is a saying, ek ne kaha, dusre ne mana. Dono atam gyani. One said to do something and the other did it. Without questioning, without using his own head, because he has been given a responsibility, he does it, he accepts it. And the other one tells the first one to do something and he accepts it and he does it. Of course, both will do it their own way. But still, they accept it. So if I say something, you respect me and you accept that. And when you say something, I respect you and I accept it and I do it. So it's like that. This is the dance of sanskars. So although they are different, but we accept each other. If I don't accept you, then it's not a dance. You know, in like dandiya dance also. So I have a dandiya, you know, Gujarati Garba dance. So I have two dandiyas, two sticks, and I use this stick to hit the other stick off from the opposite person. So that person will use his stick from the other hand. If he also uses the same stick, I mean the stick with the same, the similar hand, then it won't be a mutual understanding. It will not be a harmony dance. So for harmony dance, everything is different, no doubt. But we all can combine and do it together. And this is what is called harmony dance. So we are together. We are alike in this way. We are helping each other. And the final result is that we do get success. But if we think of our own self, I will do my way, I will do my way, then we can never, never have harmony of sanskars. You know, this hall is called Harmony Hall. And Dadi liked this word very much, harmony. It's an English word, it's not a Hindi word. And we know harmony means coming together and doing together. So, but Dadi made it into a Hindi word. And the Hindi word would be harmony. Har means defeat. Defeat is har. Jeet is victory. So har is defeat. So mani means accepted. So accepted the defeat. It's not I will do my way. Okay, I will do as you say. So har mani jhagra tuta. So when you accept it, I'm at fault, I accept, I'm sorry. And the other one says, I'm sorry, I accept. And then both become friends and the quarrel is or the dispute is over. But if I say, no, I'm right, and you say, no, I'm right. Now both can't be right, one is right and one is wrong. But if one accepts, you are right, accept it, then they come together and that is called harmony. And Baba also speaks about harmony in this way, that when we have to give our opinion, give it. As a master, you give your opinion. Don't say, no, I don't have any opinion. No, if you're in a meeting, you're invited for a meeting, you're invited to give your opinion. That's also one of the reasons you're invited. Otherwise, why would you be invited? Give your opinion. So when it comes to giving your opinion, you be a master and give your opinion. But when it comes to doing something in action, let it be the final opinion of all, where some's opinion may not be accepted, but then accept it as a child. So when you have to give your opinion, give like a master, what your thinking is. But whatever is accepted unanimously or maybe in majority that is accepted, then you also accept it. Don't say, whatever I wanted to say, that should have been done. If it will not be my way, then I'm not mixing with you. No. I accept it as a child. So, and this is called a balance. So even in the dance, we need a balance. If your balance is not proper, then you will not be able to dance because you may fall. So you have to have a balance. So balance of child and master. Balance of tolerance and patience. Balance of all these qualities are very much essential if you want to really be successful in a gathering, experience your own solitude and also experience the beauty of the gathering. Because no man is an island, it is said. Human beings are called social beings. We can't just live alone. You can't live alone. You have to be in a gathering. So gathering is also beautiful. And being alone, being in solitude is also very beautiful. So for harmony, what we say? Acceptance. Accept it. And when you accept it, then everything becomes so joyful and you ultimately get success. But if you don't accept it, then the negative thinking will spread in the atmosphere and you will never get success. So this is what we say as harmony of sanskars. You know, many people question us when they come here. They say, so many of you live together. So many in one room, at least maybe eight, maybe in the dormitory, eight beds. But then we all live together, so what? Even if there are eight beds or 10 beds or even 20 beds, yeah. It is a big dormitory. But we accept each other. Some are snoring, you know, some are maybe talking in their sleep. You know, anything can happen in the world. But then we accept it. Oh, that's his sanskar, never mind. My sanskars are also there, your sanskars are there, but then we all accept each other and that's how we live in harmony. Om Shanti. Okay, so she has some
Om
questions.
Shanti, we have a few you. Questions. So you were saying a number of things. One was that, you know, we have the Mariadas, they give us our Brahman culture and we mold ourselves according to that, and that in itself initiates the harmonizing of sanskars. But after that, it becomes more subtle, and we have to harmonize on many different levels. So, actually, this morning Shashi Didi was talking about Nivirbhai and how when the double foreigners came into Madhuban initially, actually you had to accommodate us, you know, because we had such a different culture and we came in not knowing the not only the Brahmin culture, we had to adapt to that, but we had to adapt to certain Indian culture as well, which I think we're doing pretty well now. But so just to go back to the dance, because you also mentioned that, you know, because the ras is that stick dance. So you have to be in time and you have to be accurate and the sticks have to knock together in time. And actually the ras is associated with Durga and Krishna. And Durga carries all the weapons. She represents the power of good over evil and demonic forces. And her divinity liberates the oppressed and entails destruction to empower creation. So she is impassable, she is invincible, and she is unable to be attacked and questioned, and she is beyond defeat. So this is the personality that actually we're trying to cultivate. And this would be part of our Brahman culture if we can sustain that type of personality. And this allows her to dance with Krishna. So if you were to give one aspect of how to achieve this stage of Durga with the weapons, being undefeatable, what advice would you give? One aspect.
Of course, Durga is a very big example. So, Durga, she is sitting on a lion, some may say leopard, some may say tiger, but she's on a wild animal. And she has all the weapons. But then she also has, she's shown with the hand of blessing. So even with all those weapons in her hand, she's also shown a hand of blessing. Again, that compromises all other things. So, and Baba says these weapons are not for violence, you know. They are not meant to kill human beings, but they are meant to destroy or kill the vices. So these are all the weapons for destroying the vices. And therefore Baba says that all these weapons are internal, they are not external at all. They are not physical weapons. So, but then when we understand who we are, we understand whose we are, we understand why we are, or when we came, when. So in this way, when we understand who, why, what, when, we realize that now we have to conquer Maya. So Durga is our form. You know, actually I mention of the different goddesses. There are different stages of the goddesses or whatever are the memorials in the scriptures. You know, even in Brahmin life, very interesting, that when we became Brahmins, we got so much intoxicated we became when we became Brahmins. And we used to dance in joy, dance, oh, Baba is with me, Baba, Baba, Baba. You know, and dance in intoxication and joy and happiness. We didn't care for anyone, we didn't care for anything. And in this way, it's not that we made everyone happy. Some were not happy with us, no? Look at this person, she's so intoxicated, she's gone mad. People will say that too, oh, you have become mad. What the Brahma Kumaris have made here, you have become so mad. But then we say in Hindi, there's a saying, Josh. So much vigor inside, so much strength inside, and with Baba's help and everyone's help, oh, we fly. So that is a stage of a gopi. They show in the scriptures the gopis. Oh, they are dancing all the time with Sri Krishna. Each gopi thinks that Sri Krishna is with her or with the gop. And so that is at the beginning when you come in jnan, your stage is of a gopi. Very intoxicated. But then later on you realize, oh, this intoxication is fine. But then the obstacles come. The obstacles come in life. Especially purity. The wife comes in jnana, but the husband doesn't. Then there's a fight at home. There's a quarrel at home. And then, so much problem there is in the family. And then so many things happen. So then we say that your stage is like Draupadi. Draupadi, she was the wife of the Pandavas, but then there was a battle against the Kauravas, and how in that, they show in the Mahabharata that the one of the Kauravas, he pulled her sari, and tried to strip her sari, from her sari, but then she cried to God, and how Sri Krishna helped her, and she got the sari. So it was her chastity was saved because that person was trying to strip her. So we say when we come in jnan, first we are gopis, but then when it comes to purity, then we have to face this obstacle. But then at that time we should remember we have now surrendered to Baba. Therefore we remember Baba all the time and we conquer this obstacle of Maya by saying, no, whatever may happen, I will never give up my purity. So this is a determination. So all these weapons are weapons of internal determination or internal powers, we say. So that's why it is. So the determination comes in Draupadi, and she remembers Krishna, and she gets back her saris. So first stage is of Gopi, and the second stage is of Durga, of Draupadi. Then the third stage is of Sita. Sita. What is her story? That she was with Ram in the forest, but all of a sudden she saw a golden deer, and she was attracted towards that golden deer, and she told Ram, go and get that golden deer for me. And Ram told her, no, it is golden, but it is all false, it is Maya, don't go after it. But she said, no, I want that golden deer. And Ram had to accept, so he went to get that golden deer. In the meantime, Ravan came and took her away, kidnapped her.
The story is that when she actually had the deer, the deer turned into the demon. So the golden deer was very beautiful initially, very attractive. But because it trapped her, it was actually a demon.
He had gone to get the deer, he had brought it back. In the meantime, Ravan kidnapped her. Kidnapped her. So what happens is that we become Baba's children. Baba saves us also, protects us. But later on, because of those old sanskars, it attracted back towards that impurity, towards the Maya. Then I like this, I want this dress, I want that dress, I want this, I want that. So we're attracted. So this is called attraction towards Maya. Because we think, oh, now I've got everything, I don't need anything, but then how Maya traps me? By making me get attracted towards physical things, desires. So this is a question of desires. And when these desires come, then I forget Baba also. So another form of Maya. But then afterwards the realization comes, oh, I was trapped by Maya. And then I start fighting against Maya, and thereby finally I conquer Maya. And what do I become? I become Parvati. Parvati is a stage of the goddess where she is with Shiva all the time. All the time, Parvati is never shown alone, always with Shiva. Shankar they show, so Shankar, Parvati always together. They are always together. But then, after that Parvati stage, the final stage is the stage of Kali. Because the devils are there all over the world. And I have to kill those devils. So when devils increase in the world, Shiva created Kali. The goddess Kali. And that Kali destroyed all the demons.
Well, this is great because we really now can see the sequence and how the progression happens, from Durga to Kali. And
so that is the last stage of Kali. So at the end, Baba says how this work of Kali will start. When you will become so powerful, that you'll be able to destroy all the devils or the vices of the world and thereby attain the kingdom of heaven. So these are all different stages. So many types of goddesses. The Shitala Devi, the goddess of coolness, all that, so many. So this shows the stage of the souls, of Brahmin souls actually we can say. It's not just a woman but all Brahmin souls. And we attain that stage and ultimately conquer these vices. So that's our stage of Brahmin life.
So the ultimate aim is to become self-realized, to really understand who we are, to come from that space of purity, power, happiness, love, peace. It means that when we harmonize sanskars with others, we're also harmonizing our internal rhythm. And so actually when we're challenged by the externalities or whatever we're challenged by, it's a blessing, because it's giving us, it's revealing to us some form of weakness that we have to pay attention to and overcome. And so I would like to ask you a personal experience that you've had when you've been confronted with someone else's sanskaras. How did you keep your sanskaras elevated? What was your attitude at the time that kept those sanskaras elevated?
Well, let me tell you, I was mentioning that many people come and ask, so many of you living together, how do you live together? It's not so easy to live together, you know, all in such a, in one campus, eating together, you know, eating, everything is like in a big gathering, we're not alone. So we say, and how do you cooperate with each other? How do you cooperate? So we say, there are two things we keep in our mind all the time. The first thing is that whatever task I'm doing is Baba's task. That's why Baba says you become trustees. It's Baba's task, it's not my task. It's God's task. And it's not just a task, it is a dignity. So we say it's not just distribution of work, but it is dignity of work. Each task is a dignity. And secondly, you said I accepted, I said you accepted. And we do it jointly in this way. So this is called cooperation. So in cooperation, nothing is mine, nothing is yours, everything belongs to Baba. And we do it for Baba. We are not doing it only for ourselves. So that is how cooperation works. And then we say, well, because we have the aim that we have to respect everyone. Each one is a Brahmin. Each one has recognized Baba. And because each one has recognized Baba, it means I have to give respect to everyone. Like Baba says, some are very educated, but there are mothers who are not educated at all. They are completely illiterate. Well, the educated ones who are very intelligent, they may say, oh, this one is illiterate. But in Brahmin world, we don't say that. We say, although she may not have knowledge of the world, but she has got the understanding of recognizing God. She has the understanding of recognizing God. And because she has that understanding, which even big scholars don't have that understanding of recognizing God, but she has, so she should be respected, although she's illiterate. So everyone has not only to be accepted, but also respected. So first is respect, and then it is, if you are maybe not able to respect because the sanskars are very different, so you cannot respect. Okay, even if you cannot respect, at least tolerate. Because we understand that each one is unique, no, each one is different, so we tolerate. But we say, oh, how can I tolerate? Well, you have to accept it then. I can't tolerate, but that one is that one. That one is also a Brahmin, so accept it. So acceptance is maybe the third stage, but first stage is respect. And for that, we need a lot of humility to respect. If I have ego, I can never respect anyone. But how Baba respects everyone? Whatever that child may be like, whatever that one's sanskars are, but because he has recognized God, that's why he's become a Brahmin. So because of that one speciality, I have to respect that person. Okay, I cannot, you know, for some reason. But I at least accepted that he's a Brahmin, she's a Brahmin. And when I accept, then I can play this harmony of sanskars.
So, respect, the first thing.
If not respect, actually, okay, yeah. You tolerate.
Yes, and you mentioned humility.
So these weapons are for tolerance. Yeah. You know, in the earlier days, the soldiers used to take only three things with them. One was a sword, one was a shield. Shield, and the third was the armor, which they used to wear. So the sword was meant for attack, but the shield and armor was meant for defense, because if the arrow would come to them, then they could use their shield and protect themselves, or even if it would come towards their body, they had an armor on, iron armor which they used to wear, and they would be protected. So one weapon only for attack, but two weapons for defense.
That's a very good tip.
Yeah, that is why Maya is our opposition, no? So we have to be very, very careful, and all these weapons are meant for that.
So what's our shield?
And for that, the shield is of drama.
Okay.
Drama.
And the armor?
And the armor is meditation, is yoga. And sword is the knowledge. So with the sword of knowledge, I understand every situation. But if Maya attacks, I'm attacked, then use your shield of drama. Okay, drama. I've learnt a lesson. Because we have been learning lessons at every step. No one became successful at first step only. No one became. So we learn when we get experience. That is what is a saying, a wrong judgment can lead to a bad experience. But let that bad experience lead you to a good judgment.
Yes, yes. A mistake.
Because my judgment was
thing.
Not right at the beginning, so I got a bad experience. But that bad experience is not actually a bad experience. Failures are pillars of success. So it was a failure, no doubt, but it was a pillar of success. It gave me an experience. So it was not a failure, but an experience. And that experience should enable me to give a right judgment later on. That is very important.
So, speaking of experience, can you share a personal experience when you've used all those aspects that you mentioned? Respect, humility, tolerance, cooperation.
Yes.
Yeah?
All the powers.
But a personal experience. Because everyone loves stories.
Well, personal experience, let me tell you that staying in Madhuban, of course, we have to tolerate, we have to discriminate, we have to decide. All these eight powers Baba talks about, they are needed in a company. They are needed in a gathering. Very, very important. But because of Baba's knowledge, we are able to, you know, adjust in a very beautiful way. Because we learn to forgive and forget. It's very important to forgive and forget, to let go. We have to do that. If we don't let go, if we hold on to something, we are giving sorrow to ourselves. We are not giving sorrow to anyone else. So we have to learn to forgive and forget and move on and not look back. That's why Baba says, give a full stop. A full stop. And when Baba is with me, well, even if obstacles come, but Baba's help is always with me, and I will overcome it, overcome everything and reach my destination. So that has to be my ultimate aim.
That was very good advice, but you didn't give us your personal, you very cleverly avoided giving us a personal experience.
Yeah.
But the advice was great and good enough. But what I would like to ask you is, what beauty, power, and virtue did you experience within yourself when you put those aspects into practice in a particular difficult situation where you had to harmonize the sanskars? What was your personal experience?
Well, I will only say that I just become very, very humble at that time. nothing is mine, I have no ego at all, because we have to overcome this ego. That is a big obstacle in life, ego. What is I, my, nothing. Let go, okay, Baba. And in a second I apply a full stop, forget it, nothing is mine. It's very beautiful. Just one Baba, none other, and in an instant I can just forgive and forget. And it's very true that if I forgive and forget, if I let go, if I am just with one Baba, none other, that obstacle also finishes. It doesn't last long, because in Brahmin family, if we are all close-knit, we cannot be separated. So I can say, I won't say I can't live with that person, I can't live with that person. Well, we have to live together. So we are together in a family. Okay, you may split up and say, okay, I divorce you. But here there is no question of that. No, I divorce you. Here we are one family. We are brothers and sisters living together. We have to work together. And our aim is to glorify Baba. So it's not any personal aim or personal desires. Because that we have surrendered everything to Baba. So nothing is mine. That is very, very important to understand if you want to harmonize sanskars.
I was just wondering if you want to stop now for meditation, or we can ask another few questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have shared the time, it's a bit breaking away a little bit from that, but you received a blessing from Baba, and you really contemplated that all night. You didn't sleep all night. Can you describe how you implemented, how you approached that blessing? We receive so many blessings these days.
Well, I got so many blessings, but I can share one blessing, and that made me think a lot. One blessing was, you know, I had just gone somewhere for service and I came back. The service was very good. So Baba blessed me that the goddess of knowledge, Saraswati, is on your lips. That was a blessing Baba gave me. The goddess of knowledge, Saraswati, is on your lips. So when Baba gave me this blessing, I was surprised. What does that mean? How did Baba give me such a beautiful blessing? Baba praised me as Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge. And then I started wondering, what does Baba mean by that? Why did he give me such a blessing? In what way I am Saraswati, I am a goddess of knowledge? Well, we are all Saraswati's goddesses of knowledge. But why did Baba specially give me this blessing? Then I realized that, well, if I am the goddess of knowledge, Saraswati, then I have to pay a lot of attention to myself. I have to not speak any such words which are against the words of Saraswati. I should not speak ill words or any other words which are not worth speaking or not concerned with knowledge. I should speak only those words which have knowledge in them, because I am Saraswati. And secondly, the thought came in my mind, well, Baba wants me to do a higher task. That is why he has blessed me with this blessing, so that I get the strength to do that higher work.
It was really recognition,
yeah,
and resolve.
Yeah.
So good. To go
and
back.
Also, one more blessing. When I started living in Madhuvan, Baba gave me a blessing that you are the Ganges of Har Ki Pauri. Har Ki Pauri is a place in Haridwar where the Ganges flows. So that special place is of importance. Because all the sadhus, sannyasis, gurus, they come and take a dip in that place, that area. Ganges is flowing all the time, but that place is of importance. That place. So Baba said, you are the Ganges of that place, Har Ki Pauri. So I started thinking, what does that mean? It means that you are the Ganges of such a special place, and the whole world will come and bathe in you. Because I had the thought that because I stayed in many countries, I was in Africa, I was in Mauritius for 2 years, and then after that started living in Madhuban in 76. So after a few years, this thought came in my mind, will I not go anywhere? Will I not go anywhere? But I didn't say to anyone. And then Baba gave me this blessing that you are the Ganges of the Har Ki Pauri, the whole world will come here to you, which means I don't have to go anywhere, the world will come to me. So we are seeing how the whole world comes here. I don't have any interest of traveling here, there, no. I'm satisfied in Madhuban.
So, just to go back to...
But then of course Baba has sent me to so many countries. Every year I travel, even this year I traveled to 3 countries. I went to Nairobi, I went to Mauritius, I went to Burma. I was in Mauritius and in Africa 50 years ago we started service, and they celebrated their 50 years. So I also went to Nairobi. Then I went to Mauritius because in 75 I started center in Mauritius. So I know Mauritius people must be here. Anybody from Mauritius here? Yeah, yeah. So I still remember, and I meet them when they come to Madhuban. They were in Gyan at that time in 75. I don't know anyone sitting here was in Gyan at that time. Acha, oh, very good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went to Mauritius this time. But the thought at the beginning when I started living in Madhuban was, will I not go anywhere? And Baba gave this blessing to me. But of course, Baba has sent me all over the world. I visited more than 75 countries, you know, or more, and many times, not just once. Because nearly every year I go to for Rakhi to different countries. So Baba fulfills all desires. I don't have to keep any desires. Baba fulfills even before even thinking about it.
Srila Didi, you've shown us so much this evening and given us so many valuable tips on how to dance and to harmonize sanskars and to live our Brahman life in such a way that, I think one of the most valuable things you gave us was that recognition, that resolve, that being able to recognize every soul as chosen by Baba and here because Baba really, that soul is Baba's child. And to have such absolute respect for each and every soul who's prepared to make effort. And you've made so much effort in your life. And you've been through so many experiences, as you said. It's not easy to live with many souls. And of course, we know that towards the end, it's not relationships that we have, but karmic bondages. So we're obviously going to come into contact with souls with whom we've got karmic bondages, and we have to resolve those karmic bondages. Now, when you've had that experience of applying all those aspects that you shared with us, did you have the experience of being liberated and unlimited?
Liberated
and unlimited.
Admitted.
Unlimited.
Unlimited. Yeah, yeah. I always think in this way. I'm with Baba, and Baba means Baba is unlimited. So I'm also in the unlimited, no limits at all. No limits can bind me anywhere. Because physically, okay, I may be in one place, but my mind is with Baba, my mind is with the whole globe, and I have to give sakash to the whole globe. You know, the United Nations slogan is also like that. Think globally and act locally. You have to think globally. You have to give sakash to the whole world, but you act locally. You can't go all over the globe to serve. but you are in one place and you are thinking of the whole world. So that's how we invoke the double foreigners. When double foreigner season starts, we invoke, oh, now double foreigners will come. So we think of you sitting in the whole world, 140 countries where Baba's Brahmin children are, and see how you come being pulled to Madhuban because we have invoked you. Yes. Do you feel that? You have come here because you have been invoked here, and that's how you are welcomed here. And this is your home, Baba's home, God's home, and Baba is unlimited. We children are also unlimited. Baba's heart throne is unlimited. Everything is unlimited here. No limits at all. And because there are no limits, we are all one. And because we are all one, it's a harmony of sanskars. So that's it. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you so much, Shri. And so now we have the opportunity to have some yoga with you until 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes. Or are you going to stay until 7:30 or 7 o'clock?
No, up to 7.
Until 7 o'clock we can take drishti from Shilu Didi. And thank you so much, Didi, for being with us. Om Shanti.
So let us sit in meditation and think of this, whatever has been said in the class, how we can harmonize. You can think of all that has happened in your daily life. How many people you have met. How you have confronted them. How you have understood them. How you have detached yourself from waste thoughts because of the sanskars of others. How you have actually made it let go. You say let go and let God. Given your burden to Baba and said, Baba, now you take care. And have become light. And really how Baba took away your burden and made you so light. Into a molehill and into maybe just blowed it away and it went. How you converted that big storm into a gift. Learned a lesson from it, full stop to everything. So just recollect whatever has happened in your lifetime and how Baba has helped you to overcome it. And now you are so light, so detached, so loving.